When we left that church, we mourned. And to this day, I mean, my heart is tender because it's a hurdle that you've left a group of people that you've poured your life into, that you've seen saved and discipled, and you commended them to God. Mm. And then when you go somewhere else, you start over and there's nobody there. And in your mind, you go, wait a minute. I was just preaching to hundreds of people, and now there's nobody but my family. Mm. And you're preaching to your family, your kids are taking up the offering, you're singing the specials, and there's nobody there. Empty chairs. And you put on your best face, but down deep inside, it's a great, great hurdle.
Amen.
Obviously, the Lord has been gracious and allowed us to pursue that and go on, but that is a big one.
Well, mine's a little different from his. he's thinking about our second church plant. I immediately thought about our first church plant, just getting to the field. And the biggest challenge for me was that we went around town and handed out flyers and invited them into our home. And they were coming to my house, and we had church in our home. And I had small children. And if you have small children, you know that your home doesn't always stay picked up and clean. But you would have all these people come in. We were different. We talked different. We had different mannerisms. We were very southern, and they were very northern, and they were intrigued with us, and I always felt like I needed to have food, right? Isn't that what all good southern women do? You provide them food, and I would cook and fix food and entertain them, and they were just like taken back by that. We moved to Sanford, and it was the same thing, only in Sanford, to me, it was scary. Sanford was very satanic and very big. It's like an extension of Boston. And so then, now we're going to start a church, and we're handing out flyers, and it has our address on it and our phone numbers. And I'm like, okay, we're going to invite all these crazy people to come into our home. They're going to kill us, and we're all going to be dead. So I guess starting church in my house was probably one of my big... We're not. We survived it. And we have buildings, and they do come to my house now just when I invite them. And I still like to give them food.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. This one here is... We'll ask Brother Brandon, start with you, Brother Brandon. And the question is, in your opinion, what is the best way local churches can get a burden for the mission field and increase their commitment to pray for missionaries?
I think what Brother Bell said about taking a mission trip really gives you a heart for the world when you see what we have in America that we take for granted. We get an idea that that's available around the world, and it's really not. And that really burdened us when we got to Germany and saw. We grew up in the South in the Bible Belt, where there's a Baptist church on every corner. And then there in Germany, I can probably count on both of my hands the number of Baptist churches to the German people. And it burdened us tremendously. As far as praying for missionaries, you're doing it right. The right emphasis on world missions and having a missions conference and highlighting and seeing what God is doing around the world. And then praying about how to get involved in that financially and prayerfully and even those surrendering to go themselves. And that'll help you and keep your heart right, your mind right about world missions.
Amen. Amen. Brother Jonathan, you want to comment on that?
Sure. Of course, I would say being there and seeing the country makes a big difference. But, you know, a lot of times you can't do that. And so one way to stay connected with your missionaries and to have that burden for them, that heart for them, is to research. Look into it. Okay, we are so interconnected with the Internet now, and there are so many things that you can find out that you can learn online, and you know take that booklet with all the missionaries in it, see what country they're in, and look up some information about it. Study. One thing that had a big impact on us and on our decision, of course, the influence of other missionaries, but also just the things that we learned about that nation, the need there. And so even without going there, you can find things out about it to burden your heart about it and to give you more passion for the mission field.
Amen. This next question is it's a question about the local church and how can they best be a blessing. And I guess the question was, what is the most encouraging thing a church has ever done for you? Most encouraging thing, maybe that just really made an impact. I know there's probably been many of those instances, but Brother Bell, you want to start?
Let me reverse it to answer it.
Okay.
The most discouraging thing that ever happened to me was a church that had supported us for a long, long, long time, and I went in to a special meeting there, and nobody knew my name.
Hmm.
And that was a great indictment against that local church. Now, I wouldn't expect that everyone would have their missionaries memorized, but I would say one of the most encouraging things to me is when people actually know who I am.
Hmm.
They know who Miss Amy is. That lets me know that they are intelligently praying for, thinking about, or going over prayer letters. And let me just say in passing, we only did this a few times and we stopped doing it. If you've read our prayer letter and you pray for us, send us a note.
Hmm.
One of the most encouraging things you can do for a missionary is read their prayer letters, pray for their needs, and let them know.
Hmm.
Either longhand, that would include a stamp, somewhat antiquated, but longhand, or I told you 2 days ago that I had read 7 prayer letters of people that we don't even support, prayed over them, and sent them a note back. Today, I think it's 5. I have people from all over the world that sends me their prayer letters. And I read them, I pray over them, and I send them a note back. It takes 3 to 5 minutes per letter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. That's one of the most encouraging things that's been done for me, is to let people know that they're very interested or can articulate something that's going on in my ministry, and it encourages me.
Amen.
I guess for me, one of the most encouraging things that churches do for me is they'll send birthday cards and anniversary cards to my children when my children were at home, and to us personally. I guess that makes you think that they haven't forgotten you. And I would say reading our prayer letter and knowing what's going on in our ministry is probably the most encouraging thing. You know, everybody can give money in the offering. And yes, many churches have met many of our needs through the years. But
sure,
I think prayer is probably the most important thing that anybody can do for us. It's what keeps us on the mission field. I often relate it to my ladies when I teach them at our home church, that our missionaries are on the front lines, just like our Marines go and are on the front lines in the battle for America. And we're sending our missionaries out to the front lines, and we need to be behind them, supporting them and encourage them. And we, even though we're missionaries, we have a church, and we train our people to love missionaries. I have a lady in our church that sends cards. Why do we have her send cards? Because we knew what it did for our family. She sends birthday cards and anniversary cards to all 65 of our missionaries and all their children. It's a full-time job.
It is.
She's retired, and she does it, but...
Wow.
We get lots and lots of
They're made cards.
Yeah, we get lots of return with people thanking us and sending us little text messages and emails how much their kids and their wives especially appreciate those cards.
Amen. Amen. That's excellent. That is so helpful. Isn't that helpful, church, to hear these things that we can perhaps implement in encouraging our missionaries? One of the things I wanted to ask with Brother Brandon and Miss Tabitha, have you always wanted to be a missionary?
The answer to that is no. When I was in the military, I really enjoyed my time in the military, and I had made plans, kind of foolishly myself, that I was going to stay in the Air Force until I retired. But God began to work on my heart, and He burdened me there for the German people, and my heart changed. And when I turned to God, God gave me peace about it, and slowly, my eye affected my heart.
Hmm.
And I saw the need there, and God changed my heart. And I didn't grow up as a young child with desires, aspirations to be a missionary, but I thank God for what He did.
Amen.
And in calling us there, ever since we surrendered, it's been wonderful.
Amen. Tabitha?
I didn't either. I didn't even know what a missionary was, honestly, until I was older. But the church that we started growing in, they put out a pamphlet, kind of like you did, with the missionaries' names and email addresses. And I was honestly intrigued, and I thought, I homeschooled, so my kids and I would email whichever missionary we were praying for that week. Each kid and I would pick a missionary. We would email them every week, ask them, you know, what's your country like, what you struggle with, what's something we can pray for you about. And that just created a love in all of our hearts for missions. And then when God confirmed the calling on my husband and my heart, our kids were excited to go. Oh, we get to be a missionary too. We get to see, you know, 6 feet of snow. We get to go and talk to perfect strangers. And so it wasn't something that was absolutely horrifying and scary, because the Lord had already planted that in our heart. And so I would encourage you to email your missionaries, or, you know, write them a letter, but ask them, you know, just like you want to befriend somebody. We need friends on the missions field, and children just have a way of getting to our hearts in ways that, you know, adults can't even. So,
amen. Same question for Jonathan and Danielle.
Honestly, I have always wanted to be a teacher, and that's what I wanted to do, and so I've had the blessing to be a teacher these past 4 years, and I've enjoyed it. But one thing that I have learned gradually over the last several years is that anything, honestly, just about anything that you enjoy to do can be a ministry.
Amen.
Anything that you like to spend your time in can be a way to reach out to someone else who likes that, someone else who enjoys that. And especially going to a field where we can't evangelize in some of the ways that we can here, we've got to be a little creative, and we can reach out in some of these ways and other things, just regular, ordinary things that we enjoy.
Amen.
I probably always have wanted to be a missionary, but my parents were missionaries, and so I grew up with enjoying being a missionary and going.
Where were
around.
Your parents missionaries?
The missionaries with Rock of Ages.
Okay.
Ministry. So I grew up. I've already been on deputation one time around, second time around. So I enjoyed all of that, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't just the thing to do, what everyone kind of expected me to do. And so God called me to be a missionary definitively when I was 12.
Amen. Amen. And the Bells, did you always feel like God was calling you to be a missionary?
I did not feel the call to be a missionary until I was in my early, probably around 12 or 13. Our church supported almost 70 missionaries. And so there was always missionaries coming through. And then as I got to be 15, 16, the Lord broke my heart for missions, but I was terrified of people. I was a total introvert.
Really?
I was terrified of people. My wife could tell you this. Failed all my English classes, I didn't even read the Cliff Notes. I didn't want to be in front of public, and so I fought it. But in the church house, when I got my first job and started having some money in my pocket, every time a missionary would come, my heart would just, I was just so stirred about the slide. Back then it was the slides. And I wouldn't let anybody know, especially the young people, because they'd probably make fun of me. That was the days before we knew what bullying was. But they would probably bully me. But I would sit back there and weep and wipe away tears. And then every piece of money I had in my pocket, I would give to them. And little did I realize that one day God would orchestrate His call in my life. And all of that money that I'd given away came back fourfold. And people would begin to give us back money, and it was so humbling. But I wanted to be one, but I didn't want nobody to know I wanted to be one. And then when I finally got out of that box, and you know what's true in my life is probably true in somebody's life here tonight, that they're nervous. And until God gives you that green light, it was the best day in my life is whenever I surrendered, and then God filled me with His Spirit, and then I could just go nut crazy. I could jump trees. I mean, I just went crazy then. And I got out of this little box that I was in, and I've been wide open ever since. Loved it.
Amen. Ms. Amy?
If there was one thing in life I always said I would never be, and that was a preacher's wife. I had an aunt who was a preacher's wife. I thought her life was hard, and she always had to do everything her husband wanted her to do, and it was always work, 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 and I just said that's what I'll never be. And then God saved me when I was 17, and we did grow up in a very mission-minded, mission-hearted church, and there were missionaries there all the time. And I can remember the Lord dealing with me in a missions conference. I remember the preacher standing up and saying, somebody here needs to surrender to missions. And then my heart was pounding out of my chest, almost the same, not conviction, but the same feeling I had when I knew that I was lost without Christ. It was that same overcoming, a lump in your throat. And I knew it was me. And I went home and told my mom I didn't want anybody to know because I didn't want to be single. You heard last night. And my mom, with great wisdom, she's a godly lady, said, if God's truly calling you, that burden will never go away. Mm. You might be able to do something else in life, but you'll always come back that's what you need to do. And I did watch that play out in my life as God gave me peace to marry my husband. He wasn't called to preach at the time, but as soon as we were married, that burden within me came back, but I didn't tell him. And then he surrendered and God worked it all out. And to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Well, haven't these been great, church? Let's give them a hand and thank them for this. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. Well, this is truly invaluable, just hearing their heart and hearing how God has worked in their lives and orchestrated them. And everybody's story is different. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, but He works just personally in our lives. What He's training you to do, the experiences He's giving you, all of those things are going toward the common goal of fulfilling the perfect will of God. And so let the Lord continue developing you. And the best thing we can do as a church here tonight and every day of our Christian lives is just to stay surrendered. Surrendered to the will of God, to the leading of God, even if it doesn't make sense. And something we never saw ourselves doing for and working in the Lord, but just keeping open to that.